Good morning. You hear me all right? That mic working okay? Yeah? I'm all right. Does anybody hear me? No? No. Is anybody at the top here all right? There's got to be a hitch, isn't there? We need that. Would have I drive this thing again, Alec? That should open up, shouldn't it? That's about it. I hope it does. Yeah. We're almost there, in a panic. Me and his old dear are panicking today. I'd better. What are you better, are we? A bitty? You hear my jam? I'll take it up a wee bitty. That way better now. I'll be happy what? Okay, the excuse is there here, man. Welcome, a warm welcome this cold wintry morning. It's fine to see you out for this family service. And this cold, but mind you, south of the border's gotten a lot better this time than we've got. So, we'll just hope and pray it bides there. It's a family service this morning. It's lovely to see families. The Lord loved families. The Lord loved to get into that home and birthday with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was in his favourite places. And families are precious to the Lord. We are precious to the Lord. This is because we're in families. But they love the family. And the devil would seek to break up families nowadays. That's his greatest ambition. The break family is doing. But we're here in this morning to worship and glorify the Lord. It's a family service. And the theme this morning is the communicating God. The communicating God, the speaking God. We speak to him, he speaks to us, if we're receptive to these things. And God speaks through practical care. So you're stuck with me today. Robbie's near wheel with the flu, with the sickness that has been going about. Fine to see the Burns and Michelle here, but Robbie's laid low. So I've had to stand in the last minute, last yesterday afternoon. So I just hope that everything goes okay. Pray for me. I need it all. But welcome anyway. We're going to open our service. We are reading in Matthew 14, 15 to 20. And Aaron's going to come forward and read that to us. Matthew 14, 15 to 20, if you want to follow it.
When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets and full of the fragments that remained.
Thank you, Aaron. That's a good start. Reading God's word. Reading God's word. Well, we're going to stand in hymn and sing a first hymn. "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace," 720. In the hymn book, "Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring you love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you."
Thank you.
No, let's call it the opening prayer.
Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come into your presence and to sing and praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for this your day. And Lord, we thank you most of all for every family that's represented here today, Lord. We pray that you'd bless each and every one. We especially pray for those that are with us, Lord, that are in maybe need you to draw near to them, Lord, at this time. We pray that you would draw near and touch, Lord. We especially think of those that are sick. We pray that you would draw near and touch them, Lord, a healing touch upon them. Return them to their wanted health and strength. We pray, Lord, for those who are housebound and can't get out. We pray that you would draw into their midst. And Lord, for those who have lost a loved one, we pray that you would draw near and comfort and console, Lord. Again, Lord, we thank you that you are a God that we could commune with, Lord. We have an open door to come and offer up our prayers and supplications. We thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, into this scene of time and gave his life blood for sinners like me, Lord. And yet, Lord, we thank you that he's risen and ascended and at your right hand interceding for us at this very moment, Lord. And Lord, we just praise and thank you today that we can come boldly before you, not in any merits of our own, but that through that precious, precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless all who are taking part today. We pray for Albert and Isabel and the others that are taking part, Lord. Bless each and every one. And Lord, we pray for our pastor. We pray a healing touch upon him. Return him to his wanted health and strength, we pray. And Lord, we just pray that as we meet with you, we will be blessed. In Jesus' precious, precious name, amen.
Lost a bit off a mic. Next. Isabel, are you ready?
Boys and girls, come down to the front, please. Okay, I'm going to take. Hiya. Okie dokie. Right, today Albert told you that the theme is God speaking through practical care. Now, to start with, we're going to talk about somebody that was in the Old Testament, a story about the man called Elijah. Now, has anybody heard of Elijah before? You have. What was Elijah? Do you remember who he was? He was a prophet, yeah? What was a prophet, do you know? That's right. In the Old Testament, God often sent people to tell people what he wanted them to do. And in this case, Elijah was sent to this place to tell them that they were worshipping the wrong gods because they were worshipping Baal and all these funny gods. And Elijah actually showed them that God was a real God. But in that country, there was a queen called Jezebel. Anybody heard of Jezebel? She was a very wicked queen. She had a husband called Ahab. And she wanted to kill Elijah. Now, Elijah was terrified. You'd be scared if somebody wanted to kill you, wouldn't you? So what do you think he did? Well, he legged it, didn't he? He ran and ran and ran, and he ran away into the wilderness, it says. And Elijah got to a tree and he sat underneath it and he says, right, God, that's enough. I've had enough. I'm finished. Just let me die. He felt so bad. There he is. Now, what did God do? Well, as you can see there, God sent a messenger in the form of an angel, it says. And they let Elijah sleep, and the angel baked a cake, and he had some water, and he woke Elijah up and said, Elijah, get up, eat, have your cake and have your water. And then Elijah went to sleep again, and then the angel shook him again and said, come on, get up, eat some more. Because God knew that what Elijah really needed was some food and drink and a good sleep, and then he'd feel better. Isn't that lovely? Because God knew what he needed, because God made us, he created us, and he knows what we need. And he said that he will supply all our needs. Yeah? And he said, you look at the flowers in the fields? They're beautiful, aren't they? That was God who made them like that. You know, he supplied what they needed. Now, God didn't provide a feast for them. He didn't say, oh, here you go, here's a big banquet and stuff, did he? He just provided what he needed. And it was lovely that God sent a messenger to speak to Elijah as well. So God knows what we need, and he supplies everything. Now, that's how God can show his love, right? Now, think of your mummy and dad, right? If they just said, oh, I love you. Aren't you lovely? I just love you. But they didn't feed you. They didn't give you any clothes. They didn't give you a nice bed to sleep in. What would you think? They didn't love you, do they? They don't care. Have you ever heard action speaks louder than words? That's a wee phrase that says, and it means that doing something for somebody shows them that you love them more than saying it. So Jesus, we're in the New Testament now. Jesus, when he came and he spoke about the kingdom of God, but he also healed people. He looked at people and he felt compassion for them. He loved them and he healed them. And then do you remember the story of the 5,000? What did he do to them? Remember the people that came? What did he do to them? Remember he fed them, didn't he? Imagine 5,000 people. There was more actually than that. Have you got the 5,000? There was more than that. He took remember the wee fish and the wee loaves, and the Lord blessed it. But what did he do? Did he give it out to them? No. He gave it to his disciples to give out to the people, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a wee pet at home. That's my wee pet. Some people don't like them. Do you know what is he? He's a hamster. A wee second. I'm not going to take him out because he is sleepy. Now, we love Remy. Well, three of us in the family love Remy. One tolerates Remy. Okay? And because we love Remy, we give up no or no. You're too interested. I think you'd like this. Would you like this? Hey. We give him a lovely house to live in. We give him a cosy bed. We give him a toilet. Did you know hamsters have a toilet? Yes, and they've got up to go to the toilet.
People
don't know that.
And they have a bath as well.
Got a little sand bath, haven't you? Yes. Yes, you have.
And we just love him and we look after him.
No. He knows that we love him. Did you think we'd love him if we just left him and ignored him?
Do you think he would even know that we existed if we just didn't look at him and just left them in the corner of the room on occasion? He wouldn't, would he?
Well, it's the same. God sent Elijah, right? But God uses us to love other people, to show his love to other people. So, yes, he does. By helping them. And there's various ways we can help them. This is a food bank. Have you heard of food banks? And that's people who are very, very poor, or have got into circumstances, bad circumstances, and can't even feed themselves or their children. And so people set up food banks, well, maybe of one here, I don't know, and we can show God's love through giving these people their food, okay, and helping them. Because you know, you might say, oh yes, you say God provides, but what about all these people in other countries that are starving? Well, God has provided food. There's enough food in this world to feed everybody. But because of sin, because of badness, there are bad people who stop these people getting the food that other people try to give them. You know? And it sounds bad, doesn't it? But that's what happens. Because there is enough food in the world. So God tells us to show his love through us. And so we've got the food bags. We've got food bags. What else? This is a play. And it's run by Christians. It's a Christian organisation called the Mission Aviation Fellowship. And these people go out and they take these planes and they take food to people in the remote areas. They take medicines. They even carry the people to the hospitals. Okay? And that's showing God's love, isn't it? Through practical care. We're doing that in the name of God because we love Jesus and we love God. Next one. And even at home, we can show the love of people, can't we? We can maybe help our mums and dads more often if they're tired. Yeah? Make them a cup of tea or something. Show that we love them. Yeah? Next one. And then the elderly as well. Just think of who you know and how could I help them. If you see somebody who's hungry, you have to give them food. If you see somebody who's thirsty, you give them water. If you see somebody that's lonely, try not to say them and speak to them. Because that's how God wants us to behave. He wants to show his love. Remember to Elijah who sent his messenger? Who gave the food and the cake? Well, he wants us to do that too. He wants us... Well, he went to sleep. He wants us to love people because of him. Okay, so we'll put Remy back to sleep now and we'll go back to your seats, wasn't it?
You look like I'm doing it, look at
you. Who's that?
Love them. No, thank you, Isabel. Thank you very much. That was very interesting. He's walking up now.
Yes.
Now, before you go back to your seats, we have a little video that we're going to show you. Rachel's going to switch it, put on, and we'll...
Love one another and be kind. each other. Jesus told us to love him and to love everyone. Jesus told us to love him and to love everyone. So let your light shine. You can say hello and shake a hand, share your toys and help out a friend, all with a great big smile and two thumbs up. When there's a job to do, you can get it all done. Just remember to love, love, love one another and be kind to your sister and your brother. Love, love, love one another and be kind to your mother and your father. Love, love, love one another and be kind to your friends and your neighbors.
Lovely, wasn't it? You can go back to your seats now. Thank you for coming doing. Now, at this time, I would like to two or three intermissions. After our service, I'll stay in the back hall, tea, coffee, in the back hall. So then I rush away, come back and have fellowship and get something to eat. The speaker tonight will be Andrew Young, pastor when I'll be back tonight. And the gospel speaker tonight will be Andrew. And the communion will follow the evening service. The Revelation Bible study, usually held in the manse, is cancelled because Robbie's laid aside. The morning from 12 o'clock onwards, the coffee MS, mine and that in the morning. 6:30 in the morning's night is the children's meeting. Pray for the Bernays, pray for Christine and her team, that they may see blessing and encouragement through that meeting. Wednesday at 7:30, a prayer meeting. Saturday at 7 o'clock, prayer meeting. And God willing, next Sunday, prayer meeting at 10:15. And our pastor should be the speaker next Sunday at both these services. The following Monday, just to give you a bit of prior warning, is the children's meeting social on the 26th of March. And then Thursday, the 29th of March, there's a ladies' fellowship meeting in the back hall. There was another intermission here concerning Tim Barker. Saturday the 26th of March at 2 p.m. there's going to be a service of thanksgiving in Crimmon Church. Is it 2 o'clock on the Saturday afternoon? Tim Barker has been 50 years in the ministry, and there's going to be a celebration and a service of thanksgiving. Abby Nugunbo will be there, David Randall will be there, and the Kedron Choir will be singing. So I would think that's a warm welcome, and there's an offering put out for Abdi and Romdi to turn up at that service next Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. That's all in the will of the Lord. If the Lord comes back for his blood-bought people, well, we'll be rejoicing in the time of fellowship ourselves around his throne. That's all in the will of the Lord. I think that's them all. Norman, would that be about it? If you can, yeah. Oh, aye, clocks going for it next week, all right. Spring forward, clocks go for it. Hours less sleep, or go out your beds an hour earlier, whatever way you want to look at it. to catch up. Aye, next spring's coming, folks. Spring's just round the corner. It's a long street, maybe he knows yet if we'll get to that corner. But it's coming, and we're spared and well. Right, we've got a couple of collection time of singing this hymn, Saviour Thy Dying Love. I'm not sure the number it. Oh, 728. 728. Saviour Thy Dying Love. Thou gavest me. No? Okay, it's down here, let's go. Okay, I'm wrong again. Now, John, will you use a prayer intercession?
Our loving Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord, that we are here, Lord. It's all in your goodness that we've been able to gather together, Lord, just to worship you and to praise you for who you are, Lord. Thanking you, Father, that you're God of love, Lord. We've been reminded this morning, Father, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord. And Father, we've been told to love one another, Father. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that we've been singing that chorus. Lord, change that spark, Lord, to a flame, that we might love one another as you have loved us, Father. And Lord, we pray as this family service, we pray for the young ones, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the bairnies, Lord, who gathered with us Sunday by Sunday. And Lord, it does our hearts good, Lord, to see them. And Lord, we just pray your hand upon them, Lord. And we just pray, Father, in their young years, Lord, that they may be brought to a saving knowledge of yourself. And Father, we think of the wider church family, Lord. And Father, as we think of those, Father, today, Lord, who are being starved, Lord. Lord, after this service, Lord, we're going to gather together for food and fellowship. Lord, you give us so much, Lord. And yet, Father, in our land, in our world, in our planet, Lord, people are starving. And Lord, you have made it, Father, that no one should starve, Lord. But Lord, we realize this morning it's the greed of the human heart. And Lord, there are people starving all around the world. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that in your goodness, Father, Lord, that you just touch the hearts of your people, Lord. Even in our fellowship here, Lord, just touch each one of our hearts, Lord, that we may be able to give, Father, to one another, Father, to those who are in need. So, Lord, this morning, Father, we think of the church family, Lord. And, Father, this past week, Lord, friends we have known so long, Father, you have taken home. And, Father, we just pray, Lord, for their families, Lord. Father, that you just surround them with your love. And, Lord, be very close to them, Lord. And, Father, those of our fellowship, Lord, who are laid aside and need a touch from yourself, Lord, thanking you, Lord, that you are the great physician. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you just be everything to them, Lord. And if it be your will, Lord, Father, just to lay that hand of healing upon them. And Lord, may they be able, Father, to come back amongst us, Lord, just to have fellowship one with the other and to praise thee. So, Lord, we thank thee for this time together, Lord. Pray for us, Lord, as you bring your word to us, Father. Lord, we just ask you that your hand will be upon her, Father. And Lord, for our pastor, Lord, we thank you for him, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that you just touch him of this illness, Lord, and just bring him back to us once again. For Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we give you all the love of our hearts this morning. For we pray in our Savior's most wonderful and lovely and powerful name, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Now, before we Alma comes up to give us a reading, let's just bow our head and give thanks for the offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these tithes and offerings that have been presented before you this morning. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that they be used wisely and with knowledge and with discernment for the extension of your kingdom upon this earth. For this fellowship and further afield, Father, we give you thanks for these fellowships offering this morning in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. Now, Alma, will you come up and give us Bible reading?
It's 1 Kings 19, verse 4 to 16. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Amen.
Thank you, Alma. Now, I'm sorry you're stuck with me this morning, but I'd far rather have the pastor been here. But duty calls, and sometimes we have to stand up and be counted. So you'll just have to muddle through it with me the other day. It's a bit of short notice, but we'll get there. I'm sure we will. I'm sure the Lord will bless his word to us. Let's just bow our heads for a second. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to open your word. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you will illuminate the sacred pages. Bring all things to my remembrance. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, for all that has been said and done and is about to be said will be for your glory and your glory alone. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that our Lord and Jesus Christ and him only will be seen in this place today. So, Lord, just take over this last 2 or 3 minutes of this service and bless thy word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Now, I would just say, the moms and dads, grannies, grandads, dinna be rushing out the morning down to the pet shop for a, is it a gerbil, hamster, whatever. Dinna be rushing down, because maybe they got a lot in stock. Give them a bit of warning before you run down and follow down the hamsters and gerbils. Okay, and the bear goes for bairns and all. And maybe start an epidemic. Okay, let's get down to God's word. It's called the communicating God. God speaks through practical care. Isabel has already told us about that. There's a lot of ways and times that God speaks to his people. It's recorded in God's word, it's the Bible, when he has spoken to his people, us, you and me. He speaks to us through various circumstances of life, through his word, and as we read, Alma read, through a still small voice. Can I be here, my okay? Hi, okay. He speaks through his written word, through his prophets, and his appointed spokespersons. That's us sometimes. It's me the day, it was Isabel the day. It's you and me, we're his spokesperson. We're first left to carry on and carry the mantle and carry on God's word and try and proclaim it. We have a duty to serve the Lord, and that we should always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within our heart. And I'm sure we do if the opportunities arises. But we're His appointed persons, spokespersons, and through His redeemed church, you and me. Now I'm going to read two or three verses in Romans. It's not going to be a long service, but I want to quote God's word. I'm getting older, and my memory is not so sharp, I can assure you, as fit it was. Romans 10, communion with God, communicating with God. In Romans 10, verse 13 to 16, to 15, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, call, communicate with God, call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? And that's very true in this day and age that we're living in. Who has believed our report? But it's lovely to get an opportunity sometimes to open God's word. It's a big burden. I was up at 4:45 this morning in just a turmoil of mind and spirit, trying to get things into my head. But we got there, I think, finally. But I just trust that if the Lord has laid my heart today, it'll be a blessing to each and every one of us. See, Job 33:1 tells us that God speaks once, yet twice, and man perceiveth it not. God speaks. Now, I don't care if you've ever heard that still, small voice. I'm sure you have. It's a way at the back of your mind sometimes. You're walking sometimes through the night, in the darkness and the quietness and the silence, and you have something in your mind. Something the Lord is putting into your heart and into your mind. I usually keep a bit of paper and a pencil and scribble it down, and the engineer throws it away in the morning. Or it's thrown out. Memory is another thing. You think, all mine and that. And you walk in the morning and it's clear out your mind. But God speaks in the quietness, the still, small voice, in the silence of our own hearts. And I'm sure we've all felt it. God speaks once, yet twice, but man perceiveth it, doesn't understand it, doesn't accept it, doesn't look for it, doesn't accept it. The followers of Balaam, in the chapter before we read that, you all know the story, the sacrifice upon the altars. Elijah was a prophet, and the prophets of Baal and those that worshipped the images of Baal, the murderers, were killing the Christians at that time, and they were trying to take over and cut out the Christian belief altogether of God. And they were going to, Elijah says, okay, set up two altars, and let's see if God is real and if God is nay. I'm sure you're hearing the story. The worshippers of Baal had enough of carry on. Let me just read it to you. Let them give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put it on the fire. And I will dress the other bullock, and set it on wood, and put no fire on them. And call you in the name of your gods, this is Elijah saying this to the prophets of Baal, and call you in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Let's do it. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called in the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is stalking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be wakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon him. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until in time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. That's sad, isn't it? A brazen idol, lifting up and asking them to burn and set the sacrifice and accept the sacrifice. And there was no one to answer. And there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And he put the wood in order, and he cut up the sacrifice, and laid it on the wood. And he says, "Now fill 4 barrels of water." I don't know how big the barrels had been, or what amount of water they'd held, but they'd held a good sup of water. "And pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Now you wouldn't think that that's going to do the sacrifice and the wood any good. And it didn't. Water would put out the flame. And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they poured another 4 barrels the third time. And it says, "And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled it and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word, at God's word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again.'" Listen to this. Verse 38 of chapter 18. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.'" Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, he is God. And you know the story. They took the prophets of Baal and they slew them, and it goes on from there. But if we read that last verse, verse 46, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Jezebel was after him, and he ran, as Isabel was saying. He ran, and he finished up under that juniper tree. It's the next bit we hear about him. And he fell asleep, and he was hungry, I suppose. And it says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's.'" Job said the same, "Take away my life, take my life away, I am undone." Thought that God had forgotten all about him, and he was alone. There was none left but the little Canaan, that there was thousands of God's people ready to welcome him as he went back. And it says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." Pastures. green pastures. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Psalm 23, verse 5. And he lay down again. Peace had come into his heart. He had been visited by that angel. And you know this, we read of an angel coming to the Lord, and as he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and as he fell on his face and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was the anguish of soul. Anguish of soul. And it says an angel came and strengthened him. Angels are real friends. We read the angels are all through God's word. And it strengthened the Lord. And if a Lord needed strengthening, I can assure you it all but Sutherland needs strengthening. I thank God for his presence as we come before him and we come to his throne of grace. And he looked and behold there was a cake, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. Some of us may be thought to do that, but that was forced upon him unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for you, for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left. He was lonely, he was despondent, he was discouraged. And you can, it says, the disciples were like that. They were despondent as they walked in the way. Children of Israel grumbled as they walked and became discouraged on the way. The disciples became discouraged. And we read that discouragement quite a lot through God's word. And Job was so discouraged, he says, my soul is weary of my life. But God had a plan for Job. Job lost nothing he ever had, but he came out 10 times better than he came in. God is good. God is good. Psalm 23, Psalm 42 and verse 6, David says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. And Luke says the disciples, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are those that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? They were sad. They were very sad. But we see you ministering the angels, divine supplies, God's provision. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You in that position today? Are you getting a top up for the Lord? We've got to come to his throne of grace. He's waiting for it. He's ready for it. He's ready to welcome you. He's longing to hear that call. Before the call, I will answer. Wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come before his throne of grace and lay our pleas and petitions and prayers before him, that he's a prayer-hearing, a prayer-answering God. You see, it tells in God's word, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves, which is the fruit of the word, with him. Elijah was very discouraged and sorry for himself. Only I am left. But he wasn't. He wasn't. Those thousands that were in like manner as Elijah. And it says, he was very discouraged and for himself, only I am left. But then as Alma read, we read about the wind. He said to the Lord, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, the angel said, and go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. It says, and after the fire, a still, small voice. Still, small voice. Elijah wouldn't have went through that earthquake and the wind and the fire. He hadn't have managed to hear God's word. But once all these things have passed, the still, small voice. However faint it was at the time, and however still and however small it was, it says, when Elijah heard it. Elijah heard it. We have to be receptive to that still, small voice. We have to be looking for it and waiting for it and listening for it. And there's so much turmoil in this world, so much to take up with time. Televisions and music and things that we do, which are legitimate things in their time and in their place. But sometimes we're not tuned in to what the Lord is saying to us, saying to you. I'm speaking for Albert Sutherland this morning. I'm not pointing a finger at nobody. I'm speaking to Albert Sutherland this morning. And it says, Elijah heard it, and that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And it, he says, it flung his mantle around his face. Now, this mantle could be a robe, it could be a cloak, but it was a thing of authority, it's a thing of power for a prophet. Some have read, just read in the commentators, it said it was like a pouring out of the Holy Spirit. When the prophet put on his mantle, on his robe and his garment, it was like a power of the Holy Spirit come into him. It was a thing of authority to show off what he was. He was a prophet of the living God. And he says, go return to on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. He'd anoint Ishmael. Elisha. And it shall come to pass that to him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And it says, so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was going with the 12th. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. He passed over the power. He passed over the mantle. As I say, let's take up the mantle. Let's take up the authority. Let's take up the power. And he passed that on to Elisha. And Elisha was going to take over from Elijah. And it says, and he left the oxen, this Elisha, and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Wonderful bit of scripture, as I was saying to Norman this morning, and I didn't need much of a study of that portion of scripture, but I would love to do it again and get through it. That mantle spoke a lot to me. He wrapped his mantle around his face, showing godly reverence. And as I said, some say the mantle, robe or cloak spoke of the Holy Spirit anointing and overpowering the wearer. God was leading Elisha and he'd be appointed to be a prophet. Lovely to know. In Isaiah 50:65 and verse 24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." That's God's promise to you this morning and to me. As we call upon his name, he's going to hear and answer our prayers in accordance with his will. Not our will, but his will in his time. Well, time is up. Read it for yourself when you go home. It's a lovely bit of scripture, a lovely story of Elijah being fed by the angel. It's a lovely story of how the anointing came upon him and how God answered his prayers. All through, I was speaking with Daniel, but time's gone. It's so much about prayer and communicating with God that you and I can share in that blessed thing, the prayer, and speaking to our Heavenly Father and tuning in to hear the reply. Maybe not what we expect to hear sometimes, but he speaks to us in that still, small voice. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that whatever's been said and done this morning and spoken and read will be for your honour, for your glory, and for the extension of your kingdom upon this earth. And so, Father, we just ask that you will bless us again and we're coming together in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. Hymn 704. I thought this was a fine hymn to finish with. We're over our time again. 704. Prayer is the soul's sincere delight, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. It's a tune of by Cool Siloam Shady Rill. Now, Father, we just ask that you will part us with your richest blessing. Go with us where we go and abide with us where we would abide, until that great day dawns and all the shadows flee away, until our Saviour comes back for his own blood-bought people, and then forevermore. Amen.